Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're a couple of credentialed NBA media people and best friends who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
As part of Locked On Clippers, which is a piece of the Locked On NBA network.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah. Vast outpouring of content from the network. Go ahead and check out the Locked On NBA show if you want to get some draft insight. They're going to be doing all 30 first round picks with some breakdowns. But on to some Clippers news. Today we're going to kick things off with a little bit of free agency stuff. We're going to take a look at what is the possibility of Rondo coming to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. This has been something that's been pretty contentious amongst Clipper fan bases. Yeah. But with the Lakers making what's looking to be a fairly sizable trade, it looks like Rondo is definitely going to be on the open market. So we got to talk that. And then we just kind of, in our second segment, we're going to be talking about the larger free agency picture. It seems like by all accounts, stuff is about to hit the fan.
Yes. A lot of things are moving around. I'm hoping the Clippers can maybe get in on it.
This is the shortest free agency period in NBA history, to my knowledge. So I think we're gonna have to strap in. I think it's gonna get a little wild. And then in shavings, which is where we just kind of open up that the collective kitchen drawer of the NBA, see what's shaking around. We got some stuff about Beth, some Jamichael news, and also a happy birthday to a former Clipper. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, yeah, so welcome to Rondo on the Clippers, ... might happen. Segment one, the team across the hall made a deal for Dennis Schroeder with the idea, sources are saying, that Rondo is going to get a big deal in free agency. Now, the Lakers and Thunder won't be able to formalize the framework of their deal until NBA's transaction moratorium is lifted the day that you're listening to this. Vince Staples had some takes about this, a famous Clippers fan. He said, the big homie's giving away two Pokemon cards for Schroeder and you people just sitting around being inactive. I want my put off. So this is, we're going to talk about this more in the second segment, but this is kind of the classic, like, Clippers move in silence. So we just have to wait for the alerts to happen. I want to talk, what do we think big deal means in free agency from the Lakers' perspective? Like a big deal for Rondo or a deal that's just too much money for them to want to have paid? Like what would the Clippers be paying? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting just due to the weirdness of this free agency. Like there's not a whole lot of like capable, veteran guards out there.
Yeah.
I think that Rondo is, I mean, he's certainly declining, but he carries a certain amount of cachet. With two championships. Okay. And, you know, certainly I think that there is going to be an appeal for him. I think a big deal is more relative to what the Lakers can afford to spend.
Right.
They gave him what, like $9 million back in 18-19. Mm-hmm. And then he's been on a vet min. He's been on vet men around deals since about the 17-18 season with the Pels, other than that one big Lakers deal. So I guess at this point, I bring that up to say I'm not positive what a big contract is for Rondo at this stage of his career.
Like $6 million a year or like what is, or is it nine again? Because like we're have to pay a premium if the Clippers want to get this done or some weird thing like that.
So I would think that to me, the ceiling for Rondo's value is, I believe the taxpayer exemption is around $5.8 million.
One of them a is, year. Yeah.
So I just don't see him being worth any more than that.
Sure.
And, you know, like $5 million a year, you know, he's solid. Obviously, if you're looking for somebody with basketball IQ, he does bring that. Offensively, so streaky, but he would, you know, him being able to, you know, hit from outside in those playoffs was very key for the Lakers. You know, you thought you would be able to get a break or lag off somebody on defense.
Nope.
That was just not the case.
And Clippers fans have seen Rondo do that to us before.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely punished us before. And he's one of those guys who, you know, he will get a lot of open space. Which is great when he's actually knocking down the shots. But
yeah,
I do worry about how that complicates the spacing for other guys on the floor when he's not knocking down shots. We know Kawhi likes to work in the mid range. We know anytime he has the ball in his hands, he's basically commanding a double. And it just gets a lot easier to do that with a player who's not at all. I don't want to say not at all, because that's we'll go into the splits in a second. But who's not like I mean a lethal shooter.
Yeah, of course. I agree with that. It's also interesting, too. It seems like fans, and I think I'm split 50-50 on wanting Rondo as well. Like, I'm, for some reason, I'm just like, the thought of it upsets me. Like, just like at face value for some reason. But then when you think about it in terms of what Kawhi has specifically said about the kind of player, you know, we need high basketball IQ guys or whatever he said. Rondo is kind of the highest it gets. He's in that same intelligence tier as like a CP3, you could argue. I'm not saying skill wise, but I'm saying in terms of seeing the floor, he's pretty close to that. So I like that idea, but you know, there's no defense really.
Not at this stage of his career.
You know, so it's interesting. And someone that you've brought up a few times that we're going to kind of compare is now we're doing Rondo versus Jeff Teague, because these guys are probably going to have similar contracts, I would assume. Teague has said he wants to win. He doesn't really want to be on a rebuilding team anymore. Rondo, I don't know. I don't really think he cares, but he probably would like to win. But they're pretty close. They both averaged 5 assists a game last season. Teague is, however, a bit of a better shooter. 43% from the field compared to Rondo's 41%. But he should shoot 36% from three compared to Rondo's 32%, while also taking 8 points, like basically one more field goal a game than Rondo this last season. So I think if Rondo doesn't work, if we don't want to give Rondo this quote unquote big deal, I mean, Jeff Teague seems like he'd be a perfectly fine, substitution for Rondo.
Yeah. I mean, both guys have their question marks due to their age. And you know, Jeff Teague, I would worry a little bit about the health. He's definitely lost a step in his age, but I still think he's a player with a solid high basketball IQ, obviously not the sort of playoff experience or acumen that Rondo has, but a little bit younger.
I just realized also Rondo in this scenario, if he comes to the Clippers, is he starting in your mind or is he off the bench?
No, he's coming off the bench. He came off the bench with the Lakers for the most part.
I think in playoffs we see some weird rotations where it's like, oh, maybe we need Rondo out there. Like, maybe he doesn't necessarily start the game, but we might need him out there if the offense isn't looking what we want it to look like.
So I think that, like, we've talked about this a little bit, but I think that that's the most realistic scenario and what we're going to be getting for a facilitator or a playmaking guard.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at somebody who most likely is going to be starting off the bench or coming off the bench. I shouldn't say starting off the bench.
Clippers revolutionizing basketball.
But they're going to be coming off the bench, but they're going to be a player who still is potent enough on offense and not too big of a fall off on defense that they can spend, you know, that they can log some solid minutes with the starting rotation and certainly be able to, you know, not get played off the floor in the playoffs. That's going to be expected from a team of this level. And I think that's what you're looking at with either one of these guys. Really, you're looking at somebody who's, going to be able to, I don't know about light it up off the bench, but like be a be a solid spark. And then, you know, ideally I think both of these guys have the playmaking ability, certainly to be able to sort of pick things up, with the starters if things aren't going well. And these are definitely both guys to me, that can get people into sets, and they're both veteran dudes who, I mean, it seemed to both be pretty good locker room guys.
I think in a toss-up, too, because they probably have similar deals, like I said. I think in a toss-up, I might lean towards Rondo.
That's fair,
He's got the experience. He's got the championship experience. There's obviously the intel side of it in terms of the team across the hall, which is a little intriguing to think about.
I just don't know if I'm ready to put myself in a position to have a player on that caused Laker fans so much like a headache and stress throughout the regular season. Like, and I don't know if I'm ready to sign up for that. I mean, I do like obviously, he was so great in the playoffs, but I'm torn. I'm really torn on either one of these guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully the Clippers can make a move, because I do think, you know, this is kind of the level of move we're probably going to make, unless we make a big trade, which we're going to talk about possibly coming up in the next segment. But first, The NBA draft is very soon. It is days away, and the Locked On NBA Podcast Network, the Locked On NBA Podcast shows are mock drafting every first round pick, which is fantastic. Clippers, you know, we sat this one out this year. It was a fun time looking at everyone send their picks to each other. It seemed like a good time in there.
Felt a little left out.
Felt a little left out, which isn't our fault, of course. But listen to Locked On NBA Podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed and catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today wherever you get podcasts. And Will, what can people do if they're hungry?
If you're hungry, you should check out Built Bar. Built Bar is a health bar that's as good as a candy bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. Double. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. For those with allergies, the 6 new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The thing about Built Bars is they're great. They're perfect for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet. And right now for our listeners, we have a very special offer. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Okay, welcome to segment 2, which is now just today going to be called The Upcoming Insanity. I guess it could be Freshies Part 2. Trades are allowed the day you're listening to this on Monday, the 16th of October. The draft is on Wednesday. Free agency begins on Friday, and contracts can be signed on Sunday. So we are fully running head on into, utter chaos, basically, right?
Yeah, agreed. Like I said up top, very short lead up into free agency. The window to get deals done is so much smaller. And, you know, we all know that there's quote unquote tampering and things are happening behind the scenes, of course. But still, if you're a free agent looking to sign a new contract or something, this has got to be stressful for them as well. Yeah, just trying to figure out.
Very good call.
if you're entertaining a couple offers, or if you're a guy like Trez, who it's going to be your first big deal, I don't know how that affects movement of players necessarily yet. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen, especially for these teams, that are contenders, but probably need to make another move. And then the few teams with cap space, how aggressive they're going to be on this open market.
We've been dealing with this for a few years now at this front office. The Clippers move in silence, as people love to say. And as in the regular timeline, this kind of sucks to deal with because it feels like there's just so much time of nothing happening until we get a Woj bomb about, us getting PG and Kawhi. But now with the truncated time frame, we don't have to deal with that as much. Because I think do we think the Clippers are going to make a big move? Do we think that's in the cards? We're going to make some small moves, and we're not going to know about any of them until they're officially announced, which is a little not that fun. Like, we don't get the leaks or sources really. That are legitimate, but it just seems like there's so many things, especially with that. You look at the Houston situation, things seem like they're happening fast.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a possibility. It depends on what you mean by big move. If you think that we're moving either one of the big two.
Oh, no way. I don't think that's happening
at all. I don't know. I think I still am of the opinion that our best options for this, free agency time is maybe not doing a trade and just focusing on getting a couple free agents to kind of patch up some holes and just getting the team together that's definitive and has maybe even had some contact with one another prior to training camp start on December 1st.
I think that's a good call. Yeah, big move. I guess the biggest one, people, obviously there was the insanity about maybe moving for Westbrook, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think this front office is that. I think desperate is really the only word you can use, because it would be a pretty big desperation move for the Clippers to move what we need to move to get Russell Westbrook, making us worse.
It is the win nowest Hail Mary that I could possibly think of for this front office. So I do not see it. I would like to talk a little bit about, though, with the Lakers making this move, they might now have like if they choose to use Schroeder in that same sort of role as Rondo, they might have the best bench now in the like in the West.
I think don't they got to re-sign some players still because Danny Green, you know, Danny Green's gone and they had a bunch of guys on 1 years, but it's going to be interesting. And we have so much up in the air in terms of contracts on the bench too, that this is kind of an arms race right now for the two LA teams.
And this does take like if we were to make a trade or a quote unquote big move, this does take, you know, one of the more talented names on the market, like that would be available off the market
for sure.
And I think it was said by Woj, but like this deal is so official that other teams who were looking at Schroeder
were like, well,
they've moved on.
Yeah. Another fun note about the upcoming insanity is I believe it was 7 days ago that Schroeder was quoted saying he didn't want to go to a place like the Lakers or the Clippers. And now, funnily enough, he ends up on the Lakers. So you can't don't believe anything you read unless it's from Woj or Shams or Mark
Stein. Why? The guy hates winning?
I know. It's like, okay, OKC kind of sucks as a city. I was also kicking around the idea there might be possible deals to be had in Houston. As first reported by the Clippers beat on Farbod, it looks like Harden might end up in Brooklyn. What Brooklyn has to offer, I don't really understand how it's a fair trade, really, for Harden, who's like a top five player in the NBA right now. But, you know, if Houston's trying to make a bunch of moves, I think the Clippers should try and inquire for PJ Tucker. He makes just under $8 million a year. I don't know what we could throw in or get something done. Maybe a third team gets involved. But PJ Tucker on the Clippers is an absurdly good fit.
Yeah. Where do you envision him coming off the bench at the five?
Probably coming off the bench at the five, firmly on the bench unit. And then, you know, with Ty Lue, we don't really know what the offense is going to shake out like, right? So
he seems like a guy who ends up starting
because he got another year in his contract. So the contract is crazy good for what he gives you. So if there's not a deal to be found that maybe they like with Mook or Jamichael, you try and make this move. I don't know. It's just something. It's, you know, very early stages of me thinking about this on a Sunday.
So is this contingent? This would be contingent for you on not signing one of Morris or Jamichael?
I think so, because I'm not sure how. I mean, hey, if we had a bench that was the four and the five was Jamichael and PJ Tucker, I'm all in on that. Like, and yeah, we still maybe, keep Mook. That would be great. But
yeah,
I don't know if that could happen.
Yeah. And I still think you might need to find another traditional center for the bench.
Yeah.
Just given some of the size in the Western Conference.
For sure.
But
sign Nerlens. I mean, somehow trade for PJ Tucker.
That to me would be a knockout free agency. That would be the biggest of big moves.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so much up in the air right now. Clippers front office is no doubt doing their due diligence on a lot of guys. I think people are going to also see reports where it's like, oh, the Clippers called about so-and-so or something like that. But that's just
they're definitely making calls. Yeah, yeah, they're definitely making calls. They're definitely kicking the tires. I mean, they're, you know, if we know anything about Jerry West and Lawrence Frank, they're, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes to perceivably improve the team.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's why I can't give a whole lot of credence to like the Westbrook trades, because I just don't see a clear improvement for the team. Whereas I do feel like that's been the case for the rest of the moves.
Yes, there's always some kind of actual tangible plans going on. And, you know, like these moves that you're going to hear from people who have absolutely no sources, like Scoop B or something like that, are not real moves. Those are just not actually happening at all. Do you think, real quick, I guess kind of a Monday poll right now, do you think the Clippers move up at all in the draft? And when I say move up, I mean maybe just to the middle of the second round as opposed to the third last pick?
I think it's possible. I guess I'm just at the point where I'm not really seeing the value in that. Like, I guess if you want to draft and stash somebody for the future, like it you know, it does make sense to think about what this team could look like after, you know, next free agency. But I'm just not seeing, I don't think you're going to get any sort of immediate value. So trading up to me, I guess I'm just not understanding what you're hoping to receive in terms of an asset.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just like, maybe if they want their guy and they hear that some other team's going to have him on the radar, that would be, you know, say Yam might go 46th, and then, you know, Clippers really want him, they maybe move up there. But it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be an uneventful draft for the Clippers, as it usually is with a late second round pick. But I would also, you know, I wouldn't be mad at a Woj bomb that was like, the Clippers somehow moved up a little bit. Like, oh, cool, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, once again, and I've said this on other episodes, but this is just like this is to me a scary draft. I think that you're taking a swing into more uncharted territory than even in a normal draft, which we've seen is difficult. So I don't know. I'm struggling to see the value. I guess if you can get it for cash or something, I mean, who cares? But yeah, I'm struggling to see the value of what we would be able to, get in terms of an asset for moving up, to a slightly better pick.
Yeah, a slightly better late second round pick. Let us know what you think the Clippers are going to do in free agency at Locked On Clips. Let us know if you think we should try and inquire about PJ Tucker. Coming up on Shavings, there's some G League news and then a shout out to a former Clipper. Pretty great.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which if you're new to the show, thanks so much for listening, A. And B, Shavings is just kind of where we put everything else. We open up on what's going on in the NBA. So what's going on with the G League, Charles?
So two-way guys now. It used to be this weird thing where you had like 45 days of NBA service, not necessarily games. And now two-way guys, it's 50 games instead of 45 days, which is great. So, and Clippers have things like LA Clippers film pointed out. They're like, the Clippers found someone in the G League who they believed in more than their second round pick. You know, we took Amir Coffey to the bubble. We left Fee at home. So I think this is great. I'm hoping we get Amir on another two-way contract. I'm pretty sure he's due for another one. But yeah, I think it's nice for the G League guys. And man, if you find someone who can contribute in the G League, this helps your team out way more. Because you have so much more games you can get from them.
Yeah, if you can test drive a possible rotation piece, I'm not even talking about like a star or a big contributor. If you can test drive a possible cheap rotation piece for 50 games, even if it's the Sindarius minutes or something, that experience is valuable. I think that there's way more value in that in just a sheer amount of days, practicing with the team.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Like the dates thing is so frustrating. So hopefully... Yeah, I think we'll probably be seeing a lot, maybe more Amir Coffey or something next season. That'd be a good time. Now we're just getting fully into the shaving shore. Bev, Pat DeBrayley has some custom masks, but hasn't made them available to buy yet. I haven't found a link.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, one of his friends posted.
He doesn't have that entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, we need Bev out here selling masks. No, but I'm trying to get a mask for sure. Also, shout out to Bev for putting his face on a mask. It's that sweet Beverly logo. Some nice stuff just from Jermichael Green and PG. Farbod, who we talked about the last segment, pointed out how PG wears Clipper stuff in pretty much every single post on Instagram. Like if PG isn't in a suit for some reason, he's just wearing Clippers gear, which is great. And then Jermichael's still been repping the Clippers into social media recently, which gives me confidence that he really much wants to be back with the team. Yes, it is a very thin straw to be grasping at right now, but I do like it when a guy who maybe has an option is still repping the team in social media.
So, I hope both of those things. But is there a chance that both of these guys are just extremely frugal? They only wear free shirts.
So I think maybe Jermichael Green, because his contract situation isn't as robust as Paul George's.
I would love if Paul George was like, nope, I got to be tight with my money, not buying any new shirts.
He's like, do you guys got any extra of these? They're like, do we have any extra size triple XL gray Clippers t-shirts? Sure, PG. He's like, thanks. I need a couple for the week. That would be great if it was just frugality on their part. But no, I think Jermichael Green just generally does like the team. It's really rejuvenated Jermichael Green's, I don't know if career's the right word, because it's not like he was a cast off. No, it
absolutely has. Absolutely has.
It's been great for his trajectory. And for both parties, it's such a mutual mutually beneficial relationship.
Oh, agreed. I love Jermichael. He's one of my favorite Clippers.
Does have a pretty rough tattoo, but hey, that's another topic for another day.
Hey, we all make mistakes, buddy.
And then we're recording this on Sindarius Thornwell's birthday. The thorn god of, getting put in for random 10-second intervals two seasons ago to really being kind of a key player on that team, the 18-19 team that went 42-40 kind of out of nowhere. But I had this hot take. Those people who were listening who maybe had ever been inside the Clippers locker room when Sindarius was on the team, him and Trez seemed to have a pretty genuine friendship, and like they would joke with each other and stuff, which is something now like I can't. I mean, thinking about Trez joking with another teammate in the locker room after last year and just some of the vibes that were being thrown out in terms of intensity seems so far, you know, seems so far gone. But if we keep Trez, which, hey,
everything's on the table.
We still might keep Trez, for better or for worse. Should we re-sign Sindarius to make the locker room maybe a little chiller? I'm not saying he should take like, you know, a major contributing player spot, but like we brought Reggie over for PG. You know, these guys aren't on the same level, obviously, but it would make things easier on the team, I think.
I mean, I love this idea. This is a great point that you bring up, because just the difference of Trez's locker room presence and his, you know, his relationship with the media was almost a complete 180 this season from what we saw in 18-19. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that there's definitely value to it. And I don't know if you can get him on a two-way, or exactly how that would work due to, you know, the limited NBA experience that he's had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting. I think anything that, you know, if we are going to keep Trez, which, I mean, I think most people out there are probably not super hot on the idea of, you got to find some way to make him happy. And I think, you know, maybe having a guy who's a younger guy in there, you know, could be beneficial. I think the other person that Trez is closest with is likely Lou, but you know, Lou is a lot older and Lou operates in a very different way than
yes, he does.
So it's, you know, it's just different. And I imagine that that's a hard thing to adjust for him, you know, being one of the top dogs in a locker room, you know, without stars, to, you know, being a guy who, you know, Kawhi and Paul George probably didn't really even know that much about before. And, you know, he's no longer, you know, like he no longer has the same amount of pull or voice in the locker room. That must be extremely difficult to try and adjust to.
Yeah. And, you know, they still do have a relationship. Like Sindarius was FaceTiming with a bunch of guys over the season. Like players would talk, like all that old Clippers team who played with Sindarius. Seems like everyone's, you know, likes Sindarius Thornwell. So, just something to keep an eye on in case we sign Trez. How about this? If we do end up re-signing Trez, I think this would be maybe the number two smartest move we could do, would be to sign Sindarius, so we can make things easier. Anything else in the shavings? It seems like we're recording this on Sunday evening. Shams is dropping some alerts where it seems like some player exercise or player option exercise news is coming out. So maybe we'll get some Jermichael news or something like that. But I think that about wraps it up today, right?
Yeah, I think that'll do her. Oh, I guess there's one more thing on the Trez thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's also great friends with Reggie Bullock.
Okay.
So I don't know what you would have to do to get him away from the Knicks. I mean, he's only making like $4 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, decent shooter. He didn't end up staying with the Lakers, but I mean, it might be something worth kicking the tires on. Who knows?
He'd probably contribute more than Sindarius too. So that's a little bit of benefit on that as well. Yeah, that about wraps it up on Tuesday's episode. We're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday. So send your questions in to @LockedOnClips, @WillUptike, or @CharlesMockler. Some draft talking, because it will be the NBA draft eve, which feels so fast. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can our fantastic, intelligent listeners tell their friends to listen to us?
You could tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, it'd be great if you could leave us a rating or review. We'd love to know what you think. So, yeah, just keep rocking with us. Like we said, I mean, bringing Clippers news 5 days a week. This is going to be a wild free agency, I think. So yeah. stay locked in.
Yes, thank you all so much for hanging out with us. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.